My friends, it seems there are those among us who have become confused by the real and the unreal, and are no longer sure who is who and what is what. Some have even declared themselves uncertain as to who I am. I would have thought myself easy enough to recognize, even if I have been away for a while. But to set the faint-hearted at rest, I shall prove to you all, here and now, that I, at least, am who I say I am. With your permission, Regent?
Permission granted.
A path opened up in the courtiers as Jordan strode toward the throne. He held his head high and hoped he looked a damn sight more confident than he felt. Sir Gawain moved quietly forward at his side, as they'd arranged, ostensibly as an honor guard, but actually to make sure no one got too close and saw something they shouldn't. Jordan stopped before the blood-stained stone.
Just another show.
He could sense Lewis and Dominic watching him closely, confused by the unexpected turn of events, but not sure what to do about it. Knowing him to be an imposter, they'd been sure he'd try to bluff or bluster his way out of the test. His volunteering had shaken them. What was supposed to be their finest moment looked like it was becoming Victor's. Jordan smiled slightly and got down on one knee before the stone. Better get on with it while everyone was still off balance. Give them time to think, and they might remember why candidates were supposed to be naked to the waist. He pulled back his left sleeve till it was rolled up just below the hidden glass vial, and then drew his knife from his boot.
I, Prince Victor of Redheart, swear allegiance to the Stone of Redheart.
Jordan mimed making a cut with his knife, and opened the hidden vial by pulling gently at the slender string tied to its stopper. Victor's blood ran down his arm and dripped steadily onto the stone. Jordan licked his dry lips, and then placed his palm firmly on the stone. Jordan put away his knife and stood up, holding his left arm tightly as though to stop the bleeding. An old trick, simple but elegant. So simple, it went right over their heads. Lewis and Dominic were looking at him uncertainly. Jordan grinned at them both and dropped them a wink. Jordan swore he saw Lewis's face turn beet red. Lewis stepped forward, and his guards went in right behind him, hands reaching for weapons. The courtiers between Lewis and Jordan backed hastily out of the way. Jordan glanced at his own guards and saw they were a lot farther away than he'd thought. The monk and Ironheart pressed in close beside Lewis, apparently arguing with him, but his face was mottled with rage, and he wasn't listening.
Perhaps that wink was a mistake, Your Highness.
I couldn't help it. It was good theater.
Jordan's guards finally arrived and formed a defensive shield around him. He glanced quickly across at Dominic. It was hard to read expressions in the ruined face, but he seemed to be content just to watch for the moment. Jordan let his right hand drop to his sword and watched Lewis's approach with the best cold sneer he could manage. It would have to be the sword or a smoke pellet. He couldn't get to his flare pellets while his left sleeve was still rolled up.
That's enough! Stand where you are, or I'll have my men open fire!
Everyone looked at the regent and then followed his pointing finger up to the spectators' gallery that overlooked the court. The gallery was lined with dozens of archers, each with an arrow ready to fire. The court grew very still.
You wouldn't dare, William. Attacking a prince of the blood is treason. The nobles would have your head.
My position protects me from any such charge. While I am regent, my word is law. Believe me, Lewis, I'm quite ready to order one or all of you killed, if that's what it takes to prevent a civil war.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I believe him. Guards, put away your weapons.
After everyone had done so, Jordan bowed formally to the regent.
My apologies for creating a disturbance in this court.
You are always the gracious one, Victor. Well, Lewis, Dominic...
It'll be a cold day in hell before I apologize to you. I won't forget this, William.
He turned and walked out of the court. The monk and Ironheart followed him, and his guards brought up the rear, still with their swords drawn. Jordan thought for a moment that William would actually order his bowmen to open fire, but he didn't. Instead, he turned to Dominic, who smiled with half his face and inclined his head slightly to the regent.
Make the most of your position, William, while it lasts.
He turned and left the court accompanied by his guards. They didn't sheathe their swords either. Jordan noticed they were careful to turn in a different direction from Lewis once they left. Apparently Dominic didn't feel ready for a direct conflict just yet. The regent stood by the empty throne, and for a moment looked very tired and very old. Jordan sympathized with him. Count William was in an impossible situation. No matter who finally claimed the throne, he wouldn't get any thanks for his regency. In fact, he'd be lucky to come out of it alive. Apart from his own elemental magic, his only power lay in the castle troops he commanded as regent. He could, of course, protect himself by making a deal with one of the princes, but William wouldn't do that. He was, after all, an honest man. That was why King Malcolm had made him regent. Count William raised his head, forcing the tiredness out of his face and stance, until he looked once again like the calm, efficient regent. It was a good performance, and Jordan appreciated it as such. The Lady Gabrielle watched her husband silently, pride and support for him burning in her steady gaze.
My lords and ladies, I am grateful that you are all able to come. Though it is unfortunate that Jonathan of Veerbrook did not have blood, we can all take comfort in a prince swearing his allegiance to the throne in these, the darkest of times. I bid you all good day and be well.
The nobles and the courtiers began to drift away in small clumps, quietly discussing the implications of what they'd witnessed. Jordan gathered his people around him and made a grand exit, bowing and smiling as he went. It was important to keep up appearances, even if everything else was falling apart around him.